The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. And good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to My Brother, Me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm your sweet baby brother, Griffin McElroy.
So today's the 5th of July when we're recording this, and the question on everybody's mind is, it's a 5th of July tradition. What is the most beautiful firework that you saw yesterday?
I love sitting around a circle with you boys and talking about all the great fireworks we saw and talking about our favorite ones. It's a favorite family tradition of mine, too.
Yeah, every year. Every year. And honestly, probably the audience is sick of hearing about it because every 5th of July episode for the last 8 years we've done this.
Yeah, so I got my list like I do every year. Got it in my Excel spreadsheet, and it's saw 10 sparkly white ones. Nice. I saw 3 big blue ones. I saw they didn't have any purple ones this year because I guess they have to mix the blue and the red powder, and it's kind of wasteful. But I did see, guys, just say the red ones. I saw like 14 red ones, and
Dang,
it was a good show. They had like a whole red period going, and then they did one SpongeBob one.
Whoa!
Yeah, they did.
Griffin, did you see any of those where it kind of spreads out and you think, oh, that's done, but then little fireworks fire off from the ends of the one that just spread out, and it's like two fireworks in one.
The double. I saw only one of those because again, times are pretty tight. But then, of course, at the very end of the show, I have here in my notes. It says they really just busted in a nut up there and just really went wild. I tried to count them all. I was like, "There's a red. There's a white sparkle. There's a blue. Ah, damn!" And then, you know, my pastor got upset because I cussed right in front of him.
How many did you guys see yesterday? Mine is 8
fireworks.
How many fireworks did you see? I don't want it to be a kind of a braggy thing, but I saw 8 fireworks yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, here's the weird thing, Justin. I only saw one, but it was the most sustained firework I had ever seen. It was one firework that lasted for an hour.
Whoa.
Yeah, and you would think like, oh, a firework that just kept exploding for an hour, but actually it was like it exploded, and then the image kind of walked around and like talked to people and just kind of
talk.
Yeah, it was. I honestly, God, don't know how they did it.
Yeah,
but AI, it was just AI. Like an hour of sustain, and it had like personality and could like answer questions and like.
So it took questions from the audience because a lot of fireworks are too fucking stuck up.
No, this is really a firework of the people. And by the end
the
of it, we were like, oh, okay, that's a firework I gotta have a beer with. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it was great.
I had a similar one with the SpongeBob one I saw where I saw it from the front, and it was him, you know, waving hi. But apparently, I heard some reports from folks in the neighboring neighborhood that when you looked at that firework from the backside, his butt was hanging out as a prank, I guess.
And, oh, okay.
Yeah, so the fireworks people got sued by the city for $100, and I'm worried about them. But, Juice, I'm glad you asked. I saw about 32 fireworks at the show, and then I still wanted more fireworks, and so I came home, and I sat down in my thinking chair, just sort of my imagination station, and I closed my eyes and pushed up on my eyeballs. You know how you can do that? You push up on your eyeballs, and I made like more fireworks in my, like, what I saw there in the darkness. Mm-hmm. You ever do that? It's fun, and you can pretend that it's,
I did,
you
know, that one time too hard and pushed my eyeball back into my brain for a little bit.
But that's where all the best fireworks are. But don't do it at home. We should say pretty clearly, don't do it. But you can make pretend that there's a little fireworks guy in there shooting off his own
Did I tell you guys about my favorite firework I saw last year?
What was your favorite one last year?
It was a big Calvin, and he was peeing, and they had positioned it so he was right above a Ford truck dealership.
Oh, so that's awesome.
And it was great because it looked like he was peeing on the Ford truck dealership, and his piss set it on fire, and the whole thing burned down.
Oh, badass.
Yeah, it was amazing.
So sweet, dude.
But it was heavily insured. So, like, in fact, I think they might have even done it themselves. It might have been arson, now that I'm thinking about it. It might have been firework-related arson. I need to go talk to some people.
Can I ask a question?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Why does Bill Watterson hate the Ford brand as much as he does?
Well, it did him wrong. Done him dirty.
He's a Chevy man.
I guess so.
But he didn't used to be. He used to be a Ford man. He bought a Ford truck, and he got it home, and he looked in the back, and it was full of snakes.
People always say Bill Watterson's in hiding, but for me, it's like, if I was making as much fucking coin as this dude must be off of Calvin peeing stickers...
Living it.
I wouldn't be working either. I'd be cashing the checks and thinking of, like call my assistant, like, I got a new one. Think about this.
Sure.
You ready? Instagram. It's just an Instagram logo with Calvin peeing on it. He's like, anyway, talk to you next quarter.
Here's the thing, Justin. Everyone thinks that Bill Watterson is just like a recluse and in hiding, but actually, it's just that his Ford truck is so unreliable, he can't drive it into town. And he's like, fuck, I wish I could go cash these checks. And I can't get to the bank because my Ford truck won't start. Fuck this truck.
Bill Watterson today tragically found buried in checks. He couldn't get
so many
because it was unreliable.
If only Ford I could get into town. God, I need to express my hatred of Ford in some way.
He can't even buy a new car. His Ford car won't. His Ford truck won't start, so he can't get to the place where you buy a new one. So the only way he can communicate the displeasure he has about the car that he's been saddled with is by making more of these hilarious stickers.
And you know what? Every day he's just on his knees praying that someone will come and pick him up and take him to the bank so he can deposit. He just gets down in front of the cross and he prays that he can go deposit his checks so he can buy a Chevy or a Dodge.
I know what you're thinking. Can't he just write a note that says, please come rescue me? The answer is his publisher only wants Calvin stickers.
Yeah.
So that's the only way he can communicate.
There was one time where he tried to draw Calvin peeing on a note that said, please come rescue me. But the publisher saw right through that.
Yeah. Do y'all ever hear the story about how Charles Schulz, who loves Coca-Cola so much, did one of Charlie Brown taking a dump on the Pepsi logo? And then he took a really hard look at it, and he was like, I can't let anybody know about this. And he threw it in the garbage, but I found it.
So if you're wondering why Griffin has a signed plaque at the Smithsonian thanking him for his generosity.
Gosh.
And it's right next to that Charles Schulz piece.
I begs the question, is there a brand you two boys hate so much that you want to put a sticker of a child using the bathroom on your car of it? Because I got some brands I'm not a big fan of, and I'm hard-pressed to think of one.
I think it'd be really fun, and I don't know one off the top of my head, but to find, like, a brand of, like, toilets.
Yes.
And use that brand, because then it's like, well, does he hate it, or is he endorsing it? Huh.
That's fucked up if it's just him using a toilet on your truck, right? That's no good.
Okay.
That would be messed up if the brand that you chose was American Standard, because then it's Calvin peeing. You're going to raise some eyebrows, I think, with this bad boy, because you're going to get Calvin peeing on the words American Standard. And I think a lot of people are going to have some issues with that. They'd like to discuss with you in private.
At this point, is that logo so recognizable that you could have Calvin peeing on Calvin peeing on Calvin peeing and like just kind of
that's
a
great
circle of them peeing on each other? And then you're like, wait, does he hate the brand?
No,
of
it's
Calvin
about the
peeing?
It's about the futility of anger. It's about the futility of like vindictiveness, because it's we're all peeing on somebody, and we're all getting peed on by somebody. So that's great, Trav.
Yeah, it's pee all the way down if you think about it.
Sure, it's all piss.
It's all piss.
I don't want to. I mean, the only company, I don't think I'm mad enough at any company. AOL, I was very mad at, but that's just a husk, right? That's not anything to get worked up about anymore.
I would do Bush's beans because it's like, tell us already.
Griffin, that dog just died this week.
What?
I didn't want to use the podcast.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I didn't want to tell you this on the podcast, but the Bush baked bean dog died this week.
That stinks. That's not a good energy to bring to this show, Justin.
But you know what? I think the thing that he would want most is for people to keep talking about him.
You're right.
You're helping to keep his legacy going.
Let's celebrate his life here and get to our first question.
Do you think, like, right before, like, as his soul was going into its great eternal reward, he was just like, a bit of mayonnaise. just, like, slipped away.
He yelled it back across the Rainbow Bridge and flipped a bird to the mean Bush's man. God, I hate that guy. Can we do a question, though, instead of talking about a dog that passed away more?
I do want to talk about the Bush's baked bean man, though. I will say this, and then I'm going to let him off the hook. If you watch these commercials lately, this dude has gone through a transformation in recent years. And I just saw an ad, and I barely recognize this cat. You guys know what the Bush's baked beans man looks like, correct?
Yes. Sure.
We're all agreed on this. Okay. I'm going to send you his new look. And if you're at home, just like Google image Bush's baked bean man, and you're going to find this pic. This is what this cat looks like now. We've got shaved head, full salt and pepper beard.
Wow, he looks awesome.
He does. Cool jeans. He looks radical. And I think that he got so tired of the only people talk about is like asking about beans. He just wanted to get his look extremely on
point. He looks fucking great.
He's got that good really bean good. Living right there.
Yeah.
He's got a beard that I think even Travis would be like, nice beard.
That is a great beard.
Is this a beard that I want to see eat baked beans all the time? Not really.
No, that's the opposite. No, yeah.
He's not getting high in his own supply, Justin. Are you kidding me? Fucking kidding me? You think he just sits in his office tearing into his own beans?
Can't get jacked on beans again?
No.
Right.
He's got to get the product out there.
I'm just saying he used to dress like
a fucking dweeb. I wanted to pay some every time he came
like
on
a dweeb.
TV.
Yeah, like a dweeb. He looks dope as hell. That's all I want to say.
We spent a long time now talking about a dog who passed away and then a picture of an attractive man who used to look like a real dinkus. So is there any other sort of radio poison that we want to do instead of the show? Or should we do a question?
Yeah, that's fine.
He looks good. I don't regret it. He looks good.
Oh, you're going to bring it back up again? Yeah, it feels a little bit like they're trying to give Bush's baked beans sort of a hipster handmade feel.
Mm.
But this may just be this dude's style. I don't know. Get at me if you're a listener. Bush's baked beans, man. I want to look cool to the people waiting online while I'm riding on a roller coaster. Any tips for how to seem cool or not scared after I get on the ride?
That's
pretty.
That's from Zach. I think that if you can talk about, as the ride is pulling out of the station, about how your dad built the ride, and so you know all the twists and turns that are coming up, and the ride's twists and turns and corkscrews and spins are just second nature to you. I grew up on this ride. This ride molded me from the clay, and I won't be scared by it. If I scream, it'll be because I just want everybody else to get hyped up.
Because I love my dad so much.
Because I love my dad very much, and I want people to know how much I love his work.
My handprints are in the base of the column on the world's tallest loop that I'm not scared of.
Not scared of it. Maybe like when the attendant comes by to like do the lap bar and belt, you just say, no, thank you.
No.
And really double down on that.
They will make you.
And then when then when they try to make you say what and like make a big sink and then get off the ride and leave and like, I have never had to deal with this.
Yeah.
And then they always let me ride without
and then you're like, wow, that guy is so cool and unafraid, he didn't even need the lap bar. And then when they tried to make him, he was so opposed to safety, he left.
Something like this maybe, but you put your 3-year-old son on your lap. You say, like, he's a lap kid, whatever. We don't need to. This is for children. This is a baby ride. My son is. I love my beautiful son, and that's how unafraid I am of this ride.
This is a baby coaster.
This is a baby coaster for kids.
Could you, as you're pulling out, pull out, and you can do this no matter, like, what your like situation is riding solo, going with a duo, a squad, whatever, pull out an engagement ring in a little box, and then right as the ride starts moving, kind of lose your you know balance and kind of fumble with it and throw it back into the crowd as it pulls away and be like, no! And that's not going to make you seem brave or cool, but it is going to distract them so much that they're not really going to be thinking about how brave and cool you are.
What about if you, as the ride is pulling out, you whip a crossword puzzle out of back pocket, and then you put on sunglasses, and then from a speaker that you have built into your heart, Chameleonaire's Riding Dirty.
Oh, that's good.
Playing. And it's kind of a combo. It's a look. I mean, it's an aesthetic.
Light a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the ride.
When the ride's about to start, you pull out your laptop and you ask the attendant what the Wi-Fi password is because you need to work on your screenplay.
That's good. Yeah, that's very good.
Pull out a big hot bag of spaghetti from your jacket and dump it into a plate that you have in your back, and just on your back, taped there like a, you know, the gun in Die Hard. And you pull that out and you drop the spaghetti and you look in the crowd with your cigarette and your sunglasses and your crossword puzzle and you say, anybody got a fork? As it pulls off.
Yeah, pretty good.
I do like that. Maybe pull out like a pillow and a blankie and just like stretch out in the seat for a nap. And you're like, this is where I feel most safe.
Just have a soldering iron and that you're warming up. And it's like, I just have some light soldering to do. So I'm trying to kill two birds with one stone because that's how unafraid I am of this ride.
Pull out a clipboard and like a pen. And on the clipboard at the top of the piece of paper, you have like printed out like a roller coaster checklist, and you're just like, let's see how this does. And everyone's like, oh, he must be some kind of roller coaster inspector.
That's good. Oh yeah, it could be like it could also be a list of all the roller coasters in the country, and you're very afraid of them, of course, but you've checked off all but this one, and you show it to everybody proud. This is the last one, and then I'll have ridden every roller coaster across these great United States.
And you don't even have to ride them because how are they going to check that? It's uncheckable. That's a very good lie to start telling. Like, yeah. I've ridden every roller coaster in America.
Because if anybody tries to push you on it, it's like, tell me about this roller coaster. Well, there was a part where we started to go up a hill and then we kind of sat there for like half a second. We thought, what's going to happen now? And then we went down the hill and they're like, checks out.
Or more simply, just like, I can't remember individual coasters. I've ridden every coaster in America. It's my great burden that I can only enjoy roller coasters holistically.
I'm cursed. I can never stop walking this land. I have to. My soul can never rest.
Do you think if you're a person who's ridden every roller coaster in America, and you see a news story about like new roller coaster opens up, you think there's a party? It's like, ah, fuck.
No.
Oh, great. I want to go to Duluth. Fantastic. Cool weekend.
I just retired. Please, no.
Every time we name a town or city of any size, we get lots of tweets from people who are psyched that we mention them, although sometimes we say it in a tone of voice. Justin just said Duluth as if a bee had just flown into the room, and he was like, Duluth, I have to deal with this. Like, Duluth is probably really good.
Well, that's the problem, Griffin. What he was saying was Duluth is too intense, and, like, I don't know that I'm in the mood to be able to handle all of that excitement and joy.
Sure.
Well, I picked it because Duluth has the Adventure Zone Canal Park.
Oh, that's so fun.
I want to drag them a little bit.
How about a Yahoo?
Stop stealing our shit, Duluth.
Yeah. All right.
Fuck, you're in our sights now, Duluth.
You're on notice. This one was sent in by Nick. Thank you. It's Yahoo Answers user. They're anonymous, but I'll call them Duluth Asks. When I'm sitting on the toilet, my testicles, sometimes my penis, hit the water. Is there any way to adjust the toilet's water level? If we could do this in a way that doesn't get too crass, too blue, I don't even know if that's possible, but this person's got a problem. They're touching, and I believe in the UK, they call this having a hog splash, and I want to be able to tell them something. Now, is possible they're having a hog splash because they got, you know, 10 pounds of hog in a 5-pound bag. It could also be that the water in their toilet fills the bowl up all the way. Do you know what I mean?
That's a problem.
All the way to the top of the bowl, just to full, which is bad environmentally speaking.
For sure.
I like very much that this person's like first is like lower the water level, where I think I would probably be overcomplicated at first and try to design some kind of like sling or hammock that like would still leave room for my business.
Yeah.
For me to take care of my business, but also cradle my package in such a way that just kept everything dry.
My brother Travis wants to poop with his pants on, and I think that we all understand.
Hold on, that is not what I said.
We all understand. Hey, we all understand the dream, Trav. We'd all love to poop with our pants on every day.
Listen, if I could get that measurement right, if I could figure like the right ratio out, I'm not saying I wouldn't.
Sure. Yeah, Trav, similar vein, an anonymous user here, the not best answer. Actually, nobody got any points on this one, just a lot of stinkers. But an anonymous user said, booster seat, I got sick of wet dick. booster seat's cool. Is it, can you adjust the toilet's water level? I don't know that much about plumbing, but I think no, it's sort
it,
of a one
size
fits. It
has the right amount. I mean, it has the proper amount that it stops filling when the
I mean
bulb floats up and stops the water flow.
The
so
easy
like,
answer.
It's got the right amount. It's calibrated. Yeah. You don't want to fuck it up. The last thing I want to do, you know how hard it is to fix a toilet? It's not hard, but for the purposes of this, let's pretend it's hard to fix a toilet. You know how hard it is to fix a toilet? Now what, you're going to go break one intentionally? No, thank you.
I'm having a weird my brother and me scenario in which I actually know how to answer this, but it's not funny.
Get a smaller tank?
No, you fill up a 2-liter bottle full of water, you seal it up, you stick it in the back there, and that acts as a displacer for water, so not as much water fills up.
It would displace the water in the tank.
So you wouldn't need to fill as much water in the tank to fill the tank.
Well, okay, let me ask you this, Travis. In case you missed it, because Griffin edited it out, Travis just gave a 30-minute dissertation on why this would work. And I disagreed with him on the premise that if I thought it would be funny, and then it wasn't. So that's why you didn't hear it. But I don't think that you want to start... I understand that you think that displacing the water in the toilet tank would help fix this problem. Maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't. Do you really want to get into, like, the inner... At some point, someone made a decision that this is how much water it needs to do the things that it does. Mm. And I don't want to be in a position where I'm playing judge, jury, and executioner on water levels in my potty. I need it to have all the water at once.
Mm. You know, I just feel like maybe we all just need bidets. I don't mind getting a little water on my business on my own terms.
Mm.
If we could all just never talk about our genitalia again.
That would be so good for me. I don't know what I was so saying to include in this one. It's just, I think maybe I just wanted to say hog splash.
I have a problem now that summer has begun. I frequently ride my bike up and down my street during the good weather for some class exercise. What? However, since, wait, hold on, what? What is class exercise?
Maybe it means like class exercise.
Classic?
Classic exercise?
Some classic, good old-fashioned exercise.
Okay, whatever. However, since it's nice and warm, an ice cream truck frequently visits my street, too. I've found that both of us, me and the ice cream truck man, travel in the same direction. When this happens, I turn around and head home, cutting my workout sesh a bit shorter than I'd like. I would try to pass the truck, but I don't have a stamina to maintain more than 5 to 7 miles per hour for my entire street. Approximately 3.5 miles. What should I do in the circumstance when we meet again? That's from Gmail. Please don't ask us to do long division when we're trying to do our comedy show, please. I cannot even like map this question out in my noggin.
The problem is that this ice cream truck goes approximately the same speed, actually maybe a little bit slower than the bike. So when you meet up with them, it's one of those awkward situations where you can't get around them, they can't get around you, and now you're just like best friends with the ice cream truck, which doesn't seem that bad to me. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe what you do is you just roll with it, and you get them to lower the window. You do maybe a Grey Poupon joke to break the ice.
Oh, yeah.
And then you find out sort of what they're all about, and now all of a sudden you got a... Ice cream truck drivers need friends, too. You think that they don't, because they have the coolest... coolest... job on the block, but like, yeah, dude, fuck yeah.
Especially if you could finally discover
let's really, I feel like Juice got it and loved it, but you didn't. You had the coolest job on the block, ice cream.
What do you mean?
There's someone on my block that has a snow cone truck, and it's always in the driveway, and it's been 100 fucking degrees, and every time I see it, I get so mad. Like, get out there. Do your job.
What are ice cream trucks doing in, like, February? Are they, like, getting on, like, big, like, cross transatlantic, like, ocean liners and going to where it's still hot? Are they, like, migrating?
This week on my brother and me, Thrill, as the oldest brother explained to the middle brother about seasonal businesses. It's Audio Poison says,
What's the ice cream truck driver?
What's cider?
What's ice cream truck driver doing the rest of the time? Selling hot chocolate?
Yeah, true.
Are you just... Yeah, true. It sounds like...
That's a good, pretty cherry gig.
A hot chocolate driver. Truck.
Yeah, and in the spring, he sells lukewarm apples.
In the fall, it's all leaves, pretty ones that he found.
Not a lot of business. Them. That's not a good time for business because people can, like, pick them up anywhere.
They can get them anywhere, but he put them in a Ziploc bag. Like, oh, okay,
Get your pine cones.
Don't walk around all day collecting your own pine cones. I'll give you a bushel full for $5. God damn, I wish it was hot.
Fuck.
Global warming can't come soon enough.
Give it to me. Okay. First off, let's talk about a hot chocolate truck because Travis brought it up and now we have to live here for a second.
Uh-huh.
What?
It would be hard to drive around on icy streets, Justin. Yes,
Streets full with a boiling hot liquid. Standing in lines is another one that you don't necessarily want to be doing in that sort of temperature. You don't want to stand in line. But the good news is there will be no demand, so you could probably roll up whatever.
Why? Why wouldn't you're outside playing? Oh, I'm getting a little far. Oh, hey, it's the hot chocolate truck. You know what I mean? Like, I think you would do a lot of business.
I'll tell you this, if it was an open sort of dumpster that they were hauling that was just chock-a-block full of this hot brown stuff, and then the smell was wafting through, and there was a thick marshmallow layer floating on top, and you got that in the air too, I would do anything to... Man, you just couldn't... It would be a sort of speed situation, though, where you just couldn't brake, or else the cab would be destroyed.
Drenched in that beautiful brown goo. Hey, listen, that's a good option for you, actually. If this truck was having to stop more for local kids, you could blow their doors.
Yeah.
Could you put some flyers around the neighborhood? Don't put any, like, logos on it because Big Ice Cream will come for you. Just like a flyer that says, like, yum, ice cream, coming soon.
And you know what I love about that, Justin?
What you love about the first third of it? I don't know. Go on. Go ahead and tell me.
Well, I'll tell you in a second.
I didn't have an outro.
Okay.
Thank you for saving me.
It's mutually beneficial. Like, this isn't a cruel prank you're playing on the ice cream truck man. The ice cream truck man is going to do more business. Yeah, right? We need more answers like this, where it's not like, oh, you're going to, like, fart in their face and run away. That it's like, here's this. How do you fix your problem and their problem? Because if they are maintaining a speed of 5 to 7 miles per hour, they are not selling their ice cream.
That's right.
I don't know much about ice cream trucks. They're wasting gasoline. It ain't a business on the go. They ain't chucking it like the paper boy.
Listen, you guys, help me write. I want to hear your flyers for ice cream. And remember, no brand names, no logos. We're not going to jail for this. We're just trying to gin up some interest in an ice cream truck that's coming through soon. So what would your flyer for ice cream say?
Love hot chocolate trucks, but miss them in the summer? Good news. Yes.
Doofus.
It's great then because you get a lot of cross promotion for your summer and winter business.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just the pine cones. I don't know how you gin up interest in those in the pine cone business.
My flyer would be sex sells. So I'm talking about a hot bod like Ryan Phillippe holding the cone. It would be soft serve, which would be probably false advertising because they probably don't have that in the truck, but you know, dripping down the nucks and just as like creamy, and then an arrow to where the truck is at any given time. I don't know how that technology works, but
yeah, in a print, in a paper, I don't know how you.
Yeah.
I tell you what I'd do. It'd be a lot more effective than a flyer. I'd probably write lyrics to the ice cream truck song that plays, and just be peddling. I think most of them do. Do your ears hang low? But I would write sort of ice cream themed lyrics, like, "Do you want ice cream? It's a creamy, creamy treat. It's so creamy, soft. It's so creamy, sweet. We got It's a Kadoozies. We got Push Pops too. Come get your ice cream. Don't go to school."
Okay, all right.
Come and get your ice cream. Eat it with your friends. When you eat ice cream, the cream never ends. Come and get all the ice cream that we have in our truck. You are gonna love it now. You're gonna love this truck.
Okay.
Okay, just kind of rhyme. Just rhymes with truck.
Come and buy all the ice cream. It's a dollar if you want. What are you doing?
What? He was remixing. He was being your like hype man.
I'm trying to like hype it and remix.
Oh yeah,
it,
you can beatbox alongside the truck too. This song.
Bicyclist person. You're gonna be this ice cream truck's hype man.
Yeah. You could also sing. It's really fun to make up ice cream lyrics. Have you guys ever tried to make up ice cream lyrics?
No.
You're saying though. Juice, you want to try make up ice cream lyrics?
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
Do an ice cream song. To do your ears hang low.
Do you want sun cream? Yes, it's dreamy, screamy cream in a chocolate flavor or vanilla bean or pistachio is good, but not as good as brown.
Brown? That classic brown. Ice cream flavor brown?
Do you want ice cream before you even ask? Yes, they do have brown, and it takes you to task. It's the tastiest flavor. It's a color. It is too. And come get your brown stuff. Come on, doodle do.
Do you have brown? Sorry, we're all sold out. No,
it's the only one we mentioned by name in the ice cream song.
Let's get the money down.
I want to tell y'all about Stitch Fix because, hot damn, I have got some nice shirts. I've got some real nice clothing from the Stitch Fix. A lot of my wardrobe now. I'll tell you what, I never really prioritized fashion in the summertime. It was more of a fall, winter, early spring thing for me. You know, I like a long pant and like a nice button down, you know, flannel or sweater, but I didn't really do it in the summertime. Stitch Fix has fixed my shit right up because they've given me the short sleeve shirts and really nice shorts and just good looks all year round. Just because a sense of style can be elusive for some doesn't mean it's impossible to attain. You can discover the style you never knew you had with a little help from Stitch Fix. You just answer some questions about your sizes, your favorite styles, and budget, and your personal stylist will hand select 5 brand new clothing items just for you. I'm on like a 4-box streak of keeping everything.
Yeah,
they have got my shit
too.
Like dialed in. But if you don't
Can
like
I tell
something-
you another thing that I really love about Stitch Fix is because of that personal stylist thing, there's a consistency to it, not just in quality, but like I just went to Louisville this past weekend and hung out with some friends and I got complimented on my outfit and I realized the shoes, the pants, the shirt, and the jacket I was wearing were from 4 different Stitch Fix boxes.
Yeah,
they all just work together so well.
But if you ever get something you're not feeling, you can send it back and shipping is free both ways and you only pay for what you keep. You get your fix whenever you want or you can sign up to receive scheduled shipments. So hurry to stitchfix.com/mybrother to get started now. If you keep all 5 items you receive, you'll get 25% off your entire purchase. stitchfix.com/mybrother.
I also want to tell you about Audible. I am an audiobook fan. No lie, no joke, no exaggeration. I prefer them to books. To reading. And let me tell you why. In this day and age, I find it hard to find time, especially like with BB and with driving around and, you know, just living my life. Hard to find time to like, I'm going to sit down and find time to read. But I can put on a book while I'm driving. I can put on a book while I'm working and listen to it while I'm typing away, working on stuff. And not only that, there's something I really love about listening to authors read their own books, especially when it comes to like memoirs and like that kind of thing. And Audible has the largest selection of audiobooks on the planet, will let you fill your summer with more stories. Like I was on a Sarah Vowell kick. I highly recommend Wordy Shipmates and Strange Fishes and Lafayette and the somewhat United States. If you enjoy, like, the characters from Hamilton, you will enjoy Lafayette and the somewhat United States. And plus, Sarah Vowell reads the book mostly herself, but also, like, the quotes and stuff, are the parts, you might say, is done by, like, other performers. So, like, John Hodgman makes some appearances in there. John Slattery makes some appearances in there. It's really great. Speaking of John Hodgman, Vacation Land is a really,
that's a really good one.
Audiobook. Do you guys have any that you are thoroughly
enjoying? I've been listening to Room to Dream, the new David Lynch memoir, which he wrote with a traditional memoirist, I guess. Is what you say? And then he writes, like, the response to the traditional memoir chapter. And so it's like you hear a professional memoir person say, talk about the first years of David Lynch's life as a young boy, and then you hear about David Lynch tells you a long story about when he hit a dead cow with a pitchfork and hit himself in the head because it bounced right off for about 30 minutes. So it's fantastic.
So go to audible.com/mybrother or text my brother to 500-500 to get started. Amazon Prime members can get Audible for just $4.95 a month for the first 3 months. That's like getting 3 months for the price of one. And after that, it's only $14.95 a month. Now, this offer ends July 31st, 2018, so do not wait. Go check it out. Go to audible.com/mybrother or text my brother to 500-500. Go check it out.
Well, we got some Jumbotrons here as well. This first one is Taking Credit For, F-O-R, not the number, is a new-to-the-scene YouTube channel where four friends play video games, really dive deep into what can be considered a playable game. If you care for comedy and quality content, they've got it all.
That's all of it. That's all I those enjoy two things that. Is it.
That's really great. Those if you two- like a lot... oh, no, they don't say a lot. So if you like comedy and quality content and they can't they guarantee a lot of it, then you're great.
They have all of it, though.
Where's that?
Taking Credit For. It's just search YouTube for Taking Credit For. All one word. And you can catch it.
It's also on Facebook and Instagram. I don't know why Justin didn't. Justin's beefing with the book.
I'm trying to like focus them down where this. I feel like this is going to help them the most. I listen. You're right. They did say that in the ad, and I guess I should include that as well. That it's on. They're on Instagram and Facebook. Taking Credit For, all one word. Go follow and subscribe.
Here's a another Jumbotron. This one's for Beth Curtin, and it's from Nicholas Bale, who says, "Hello, lover." Since our first date in a board game, yeah. Since our first date in a board game cafe, bonding over the antics of the McElroy bros, you've been an amazing part of my life for over a year now and have never failed to make me smile. You're an incredible lady, and I love you. Here's some many more days spent playing video games and watching silly YouTube videos. So this is a nice, sweet message, and Charlie Bit My Finger is a great YouTube video. I don't know if y'all are looking for recommendations, but Charlie Bit My Finger's great. There's a kid and he gets bit, and I guess he's from like a different country because his voice is different from mine. And there's also History of Dance.
Have you seen the one with the cat and it's acting really weird? Like a cat doesn't normally act?
No, I've never seen that.
It's really good. I think if you just like search cat in the weird. YouTube search, you'll find it.
Sure. So he's like, Charlie.
Uh-huh. Have you seen Charlie Bit My Cat? He does a whole series of Charlie Bit My Blank, and it's like Charlie Bit My Textbook, Charlie Bit My Sandwich. That one's not that good. That's just a kid eating a sandwich.
They actually have a live stream now where both the kids are 30, and they just bite each other
over
for 2 hours
again.
For 2 hours every day.
It still sounds like
while playing
that.
Minecraft.
Still sound like that, though, just like Charlie.
Charlie Bit My Style.
Kind of a Christopher Walken, like, Charlie bit me. That's Christopher Walken.
They did one where Charlie bit my bite, and that was really weird, and I didn't care for it.
He tried to bite, but he countered it with a counter bite.
It's a great injustice that Charlie Bit My Finger has so many views, and oh, fuck, I can't believe you've done this, only has, like, a million.
True, yeah.
It's not fair.
He's from somewhere else, too. We got one more Jumbotron, though.
Is that my turn? It is. Yeah. Okay. This is for current Jessica from past Jessica. Hey, Jessica, I know you're worried about a lot right now, but it's going to be okay. Everything always turns out all right in the end if you just wait long enough. Just keep waiting, and in the meantime, don't stop vibing and keeping it tight. Also, work on your thesis.
Yes.
That's great.
Everyone should always be vibing it, keeping it tight, and just getting ready for that thesis, because you may not think you'll need it right now. It'll creep up on you. Oh, you wake up in the middle of the night. Your thesis ain't done, due tomorrow. You're going to have a real Bart's nightmare on your hands.
Maximum Fun's new sci-fi comedy podcast, Bubble, is coming to San Diego Comic-Con on July 21st. At 1 p.m., Bubble cast members Travis McElroy, Cristela Alonso, Eliza Skinner, Allison Becker, Mike Mitchell, Jordan Morris, and Danielle Radford will be signing autographs. Tickets are required, but free. Then at 5 p.m., the cast will participate in a panel moderated by Jesse Thorne, held at the San Diego Central Library. For more information, visit MaximumFun.org/SDCC.
So we have an exciting treat right now. If you didn't listen to our Margaritaville premiere debacle, was that fair?
Calamity.
Debacle?
Yeah.
Calamity, yeah. We had an embarrassing moment with Mary Lou Henner, a beloved stage and screen actress, Mary Lou Henner, an author. We'll recount the incident in full detail during our discussion with you. That's a great thing to do, actually, if you have an embarrassing moment with somebody, is to recount it in full detail. We don't need to do that because Mary Lou Henner has a perfect memory. But she was nice enough to come talk to us about that experience and give advice on your questions and so much more. So without further ado, here's our discussion with special guest expert, Mary Lou Henner. Folks, our very special guest expert for this episode is star of stage and screen, if I may say, American icon, Mary Lou Henner. Mary Lou Henner, welcome to my brother, and me.
I love you guys so much. Well, first of all, I love family, and, you know, you're just so funny. I just love your humor, and I was saying to you before we started that my son, who's 22, just graduated from Northwestern, his friends, they all listen to you guys, and it has definitely helped my street cred with his gang. So thank you for that.
Mary Lou, your first exposure to our wild, fun, humorous sensibilities was on the Margaritaville blue carpet, at which I asked you what your favorite sea creature was. You said Ursula, a perfectly acceptable response, and then I screamed in your face for no apparent reason other than I was very, very nervous.
As if
nervous.
You were a football game that Justin was very excited that his team had just gotten a big touchdown or something.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I felt like, oh, is that a funny response? I was being very serious.
One question. What do you think the scariest sea creature is?
Scariest? Ursula from Little Mermaid.
Yes. That's a good answer.
Good.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Ms. Henner, you crushed it.
What I think you were seeing there was Justin, like a teapot, releasing some of his pressure of, like, being very nervous and you giving a very good answer. And so for Justin, it was just this moment of, like, steam escaping, like, yes!
No, well, it endeared you to me forever.
The day we'd had, Al Roker screamed at us. The 60 Minutes guy screamed at us, just yelled in our face. It was a very difficult, challenging day for everybody.
Well, come on. You know, red carpets are crazy. I mean, everybody's screaming at everybody, and you never know if you're in somebody else's shot or you know, tape recorder or whatever, microphone. And so what happens is you feel like, oh, I just said that answer. Did they hear it? Did they record it? Did they, you know, is that why they're calling me over? And nobody asked me about sea creatures, though, so you guys were original. So nice.
Wait, no, hold on. Wait, nobody else?
No.
Nobody else asked you about sea creatures?
No, they weren't clever. They ask the same stupid questions all the time. So you guys have to come to Getting the Band Back Together opening night, though. It's August 13th. We have to arrange that. You have to do that.
Yeah, now that you've seen what we can do,
yes.
Like, you got to have us.
Oh,
it's
my just, God.
Now that you've seen our raw talent on the red carpet.
I know, and the show is very much like, you know, about you guys. So, yeah.
The show's about, you wrote a show about us?
You didn't even know. That's how fast I absorbed your, you know, sensibilities.
You brought up your show. Can you tell us about it real quick before we get into helping people?
Sure. Yeah, we open August 13th at the Belasco Theater. It's called Getting the Band Back Together. It's about a guy who gets fired from Wall Street. He had this high school band. They won the Battle of the Bands in high school. He took off for, you know, Wall Street. He now has to come back, live with his mom. That's the part I'm playing. And she's an ex-rocker, hung out with Aerosmith and a bunch of other bands. So she's excited to have him home. They have to do another battle of the bands to beat the guy again that they beat last time. So they have to get the band together. One of the guys is a dermatologist. One's a teacher. One's a cop. One has passed away. So they've got this 16-year-old phenom. And, you know, so it's a battle. Oh. It's really fun.
I thought you were going to say, so they've got a ghost. When you said one passed away, I thought, and then there's a ghost bringing up the back of the band.
A ghost. No. Ooh. No, they have a young guy who's ridiculous. I hope he's got a long contract because they're going to, you know, he's a phenom. He is.
And the lead singer of the band is, if you guys remember, Keith Stone from the Keystone ads. I was so excited to see him back in the biz. And also,
Rock of Ages. He was in Rock of Ages.
Oh, it was in Rock of Ages. Lonnie. I didn't realize that.
He's so good, Mitch Jarvis. He's amazing. He's just amazing.
We should hop into the questions before we do.
Did you get some good questions?
We did. Thank you to our listeners who sent some good ones in. In the interest of full disclosure, we should mention we have spoken on the phone before also, and it took all of about 4 minutes before you had us talking about our actual sex lives. So I'm kind of buckled up, strapped in, ready for whatever, for wherever this goes.
Okay, so we asked people for questions about memory and posing for a great photo, because these are both things that we are completely, wholly ignorant of. So we have a wide array of questions. I'm going to get into the first one. Okay. I have a really good memory, particularly for names and faces, which often leads to people saying, "Hi, I'm so-and-so, nice to meet you," and me responded, "I know, we've met before," and then recounting in detail our last meeting. People are always taken aback by how much I remember, and I feel like such a jerk. Do you have any advice on how to handle this better? Is there anything I can say in response that'll make the situation less awkward? Oh, that's from Weirding People Out in Washington, D.C. We use handles here on the show, so people don't have to reveal their shame.
They really are. Okay. Well, first of all, maybe you should be tested by the people who do all the testing about highly superior autobiographical memory, because it sounds like you're somebody who really has an incredible memory. Because, you know, here's the thing. Most people don't remember anything. They remember 8 to 11 events within any given year, which is really kind of sad when you think about how many days there are in a year and a leap year.
That feels like so many events to me. I can't remember 8 to 11 events a year. Mary Lou, I really live in the moment. You know what I mean?
That's it.
I mean, you hope you're living in the moment, but you can still record. It can still be recorded. We've just gotten really lazy about recording.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I'm so lazy.
Well, this is what I think. First of all, you should celebrate the fact that you remember. And I think it's your tone. If you're very like me, 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 me about the person, like, oh, you know, can we swear on this? Okay. So if you're like, "Fuck you, I remember you, you don't remember me," that's not good. You know, what you should probably do is you should probably just be like, "Oh no, remember this," and try to prompt their memory. Because here's the thing. Everything anybody's been through is on their emotional hard drive, and they will remember with a little prompting. So what you have to do is prompt them and sort of do a little memory, you know, trip together. You know what I mean? It's like really fun when you get somebody going with their memory rather than taking like a superior position.
So let me get this straight, Mary Lou. You say we take the person, we look in the person's eyes, we take their hand, and you say, "I know you think I'm a stranger to you, but I'm going to take you on a memory journey with me." get in the back seat. We're going together.
Yes.
Philadelphia, 1987.
Do you smell these? These are French fries. What does this remind you of?
Or you just, you know, you kind of have fun with them and stuff. I love doing this. People always, until I was on 60 Minutes talking about having an unusual memory, people always thought like, "Man, I must be really special to her," you know, but everybody's special to everybody. We just don't always remember that. So I think you should celebrate it, get them involved in the remembering, and don't pick up on their, you know, don't insult them, and then you won't pick up like you're being insulted. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, don't insult them is a pretty good general rule for other stuff too. I've found. You mentioned getting tested for the like super autobiographical memory, and I was curious: is there a sort of Hogwarts like procedure where if you find out that you do possess this superpower, you get to go to like a special academy and hang out with other like super memorable people.
Well, there aren't that many. There aren't that many people who have it, and we've only gotten a few of us have only gotten together once. But it's funny you say Hogwarts because.
And you remember every second of that meeting.
Yeah, the most remembered meeting ever.
Yeah, it's fun. If it's something you're born with, you sort of celebrate it anyway. But it's not like you go to Hogwarts. It's just that they do wire you, put you through an MRI, and take 300 measurements of your brain. And they also put you. They see how the neural pathways fire up, and it's pretty crazy. You feel, and then when you see the MRIs, they're pretty nuts.
That's actually what the Sorting Hat is doing. It is actually giving you an MRI.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
And if you can't answer this, I understand. But once your memory thing became public and came to light, how often have you been approached by intelligence organizations trying to recruit you as a spy?
Oh.
Has that happened? Have you done any spying for America?
No, I wish. I wish. I wish somebody would use that part of my brain. But, you know. They have me memorizing lines instead and singing songs.
Yeah.
It's
you definitely couldn't tell us even if you were.
Yeah, that's definitely the answer you would give, even if you were. Yeah.
Here's another question.
Okay.
They say, hello, I just had to get my photo taken for the author's jacket flap on my first published book.
Oh.
I never get my photo taken. Any advice on how you look so great in your pics? And that's from LCO.
Okay. Here's my theory on taking your picture. Do it a lot so that you're not freaked out when you only see it once. There are times when the lighting is bad, it's the wrong camera angle, you hate the photographer shoots late, so you're coming down from an expression. I mean, probably the best advice I ever got about taking a picture was from Burt Reynolds, who told us all the first day of Evening Shade that we all took pictures together. He said, when you take a photograph, you look into the camera lens and you feel like you want to fuck the photographer. And because if they were little kids, so he said, you love the photographer. If you
want to hug the photographer.
You want to hug the photographer.
I bet he still said fuck.
Well, he did kind of. But it's like your eyes soften. You look like, your face is relaxed. You feel like you're playing to the camera. So it really is important every time you look at the photographer and you feel like, I want you.
How often do you get your photo taken, Mary Lou?
Oh.
Like how many times a day should we do this?
Probably yesterday, at least 50, 60 times.
Wow. Oh, my God. I'm so far behind.
You know what you have to do? You have to do it a lot. And here's the thing. Think of like the middle of the photograph as something that you turn into. So if you're on the outside, let's say you're on the right side of the frame, the camera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the camera's pointing at you and you're and your right hand is, you're on the far right of that photograph. Camera left, but no, yeah, camera left, but,
okay, I got it.
Right.
I'm holding my camera up.
You got it. All right. Always tilt your body sort of toward the center, because that's going to be better than if you turn away. I learned that from going on The Tonight Show and things like that. You always cross the leg toward the host, because that's the center,
So I'm posing in Skype. Is it sort of like this and kind of a cross arms?
Well, first of all, you're by yourself, so it's a little different. But also you should face the light.
I don't
light
know how
more.
To get another person here. I got my cat.
Okay, I see. I see what you're doing.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so let's say. Yeah, what you do is you sort of move toward the center. You angle your body toward the center, I guess, for me.
What? But you can't see my biceps that I'm flexing there. If I turn, I lose
true.
The biceps.
Oh,
no,
the shit,
problem.
No. Rad.
Put your biceps, like, square off your biceps to the camera, but put your, tilt your body. No, you did the
then
exact
I'm covering
opposite.
My face, Mary Lou.
This is good radio.
I will say, I feel very much like the listeners right now. I'm getting a wonderful audio experience.
Here's my advice. Stop using filters, because you're going to be so fooled by them. What you have to do is you have to just find the right kind of light and experiment with what your better side is, your better lighting is, because and try to stay on the inside of the picture rather than the outside. The people further out are always going to look distorted.
Just a follow-up vis-a-vis looking like you want to fuck the photographer. For this specific example of getting your photo taken for a book sleeve or book cover, is that going to be troubling to the people who purchase the book and open it up and say, like, let's learn about the author. Wow, they really look like they want to have sex with me, the person who's reading their book. Because that carries over to every other person who sees the photo.
Yes. Doesn't everybody want to feel like they're wanted? Of course. I mean, you know, you don't have to use the foul language, but you want somebody who's inviting to you and someone who looks like they like you and someone who feels like they're comfortable and their eyes are soft. Come on. You're going to start looking at all photographs and saying, did that person feel comfortable with the photographer? Are they sending something to the camera? All right. You know how there's this thing on Twitter right now called BDE? Do you know?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's get into the big issue. Sorry, we have not.
Let's get into now. What? Now what's? I'm completely ignorant of it, Mary Lou Henner. What is BDE?
This bugs me. All right. Let me just tell you. So there's this whole thing about people who have, you know, big dick energy, and they're talking about, oh, but women can have it too. All right. First of all, why don't we call it something else? So for years in my family, because I have two brothers, I grew up with two brothers, three sisters, we have always called it PF. It's PF. That's what we call it because it can be male or female. PF. PF measures the sexual quotient of somebody, and it doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter what their age is. It doesn't matter anything. It's like what radiates from them that makes you feel like, wow, that person really has it. And you can talk about it in a movie sense, like, oh, those two had no PF together, or a restaurant. Wow, that restaurant devoid of PF, or wow, there was so much PF in that room. Okay, and what PF stands for, not BDE.
Oh, yes, please.
Oh.
Can you guess?
I won't. I shan't.
Can I say things on this show? I can't.
Say all things are permitted.
So I'll tell you, the F is for factor.
Popcorn.
I think I need to know what it is.
Was it popcorn?
No, it's penis factor or pussy factor.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's PF. And now you have to never say it again.
Okay, or pumpkin factor.
No,
because I get a latte at Starbucks sometimes, and I'm gonna think, I wish this had some PF in it. Okay. And that's just the pumpkin factor they add.
What about just pubic factor?
Pubic
factor. Hey. That would apply to everyone.
Well, it's not as attractive a word as the other two, I think.
No, it's definitely not.
Yeah, well.
To certain people, I bet, like Burt Reynolds, I bet, would be just a huge, for whatever reason, it just like resonates with me that he would find that very cool.
Pubic factor? He knows about PF. He knows about
Listen,
PF.
There's kids around, so I'm going to say pubic factor. I have another question about memory here.
Okay.
And this is I would love the answer to this one if you have it.
Sure.
How do you stop remembering the most embarrassing moments of your life? That's from Lasting Middle School Memories from Los Angeles.
Okay.
We got a lot of questions to this effect.
Okay,
also.
Here's the thing. Memory is tied to adrenaline. So you always remember the highs and the lows. You always remember the good, great things that happened to you, whether like the birth of a baby or a marriage or the first kiss or a hot date or an award or promotion, things like that. And you're also going to remember all those low things, a bad breakup, anything bad that happens to you, being embarrassed, whatever, a death in the family, you know, all the bad stuff, all the good stuff. It's what when you really develop your autobiographical memory, you get to bring back all of those middle of the road memories that aren't really super tied to adrenaline. So that's why it's so good to develop that other part of you, you know, the middle stuff, that your autobiographical memory. And so here's the thing. You're going to remember those things, but what you have to do is don't back away from them. You know, it's like if the more you see a scary movie, the more you understand, like, okay, I know right around the corner this is going to happen, and the less scary it becomes. People, like, back off from those memories, and they don't want to look at them. But ignoring them is like saying, hey, I'm reading this book. Something bad happens to somebody in chapter 10, so I'm not going to read chapter 10. It really informs the rest of the book.
Did you have to work on your memory, Mary Lou, or did you just like realize like, whoa, I remember a lot more than most people?
Well, at 6 years old, I used to fall asleep saying, okay, what did I do a year ago in kindergarten? What did I do when I was my little brother Lauren's age? You know, and it was so easy for me that I just kind of had fun with it and would do time travel. And I still kind of do that with my life. You know, if I'm having trouble falling asleep, I'll go through, you know, where was I in my second marriage? I'm in my third marriage. Where was I in my second marriage on this very same day? You know, or what was I doing when I was exactly to the day as old as my son, or, you know, either of my sons? So, yeah, it was something that I had fun with. It wasn't like I had to work on it.
Wait, if memory is tied to adrenaline, Mary Lou Henner, are you just like jacked on adrenaline 24/7? Like, anytime we see you, is that the deal? Are you just like,
maybe, I don't know,
pumping out? Are you like skydiving constantly?
Sort of a Jason Statham crank scenario where you're just constantly stoked.
I mean, when I was a little girl, my mother took me to the doctor to say, her clothes keep breaking at the seams. What's going on? And he said, she just has a lot of energy, her energy field. She just,
her BDE is just off the charts.
Yeah, right.
I have a question here. Let's wrap up with this one. Andrew asked, and this may be not great, but Andrew asked, what happened on April 25th, 1983?
Why is he asking about that date? That must be when he was born. That must be when he was born.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I think.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. Okay. First of all, it was a Monday. April 25th, 1983, right? Yeah, it was a Monday.
Yes.
And I was shooting the movie The Man Who Loved Women in Los Angeles. Taxi had just ended, and I was doing my first project with Burt Reynolds. His name came up again. It was directed by Blake Edwards, and I played one of a group of women that was involved with him in the film. So that must be his birthday.
Must be. A special day. How about this one also? Because that one was a shorty. Juice, you have the question list up, right?
Yes, I do. It was a Monday. Holy crap.
Oh, no. That's you can't amazing. Sell me. No, I was on a radio show, and they were trying to give tickets away. And I, after 22 calls, you know, try to stump me, I'd say, just give away the damn tickets.
My friends are going to be married and want me to officiate.
Oh.
Do you have advice for remembering a ceremony? That's for memorizing minister. So that's like a little harder, like groups of work, like a big chunk of text, which I guess is not unlike, you know, a monologue or
right,
soliloquy.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, first of all, write it from the heart and write it in bullet points first so that you remember the really important points. And then when you write it all out, you'll have the connective tissue. And also, one of the easiest ways to remember anything is to like concentrate on the verbs, because the verbs really tell the story. And so if you, you know, like lines or anything like that, it was always easy for me, but I always gave this advice to other people. Write it out in your handwriting. Danny DeVito did this all the time. You'd find his Louis lines like all over the set, not because he needed to look at them, but because he would write them out and they would become part of him. He always felt like having them, you know, putting them through his body and using his handwriting, they would become part of him. So write it out in your own handwriting. Don't just put it on, you know, if you really want to remember, and concentrate mainly on the verbs. But maybe you should really give them my three theories of marriage. You want to hear them?
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, obviously. All right. Yes.
These are my three theories of marriage. The first one is, marriage is like making waffles. You throw the first one out.
Okay.
But that's bad. If
all right. Okay. Okay. All three of us here are on our first marriages.
Okay,
go
well,
on.
Then you have something to look forward to. Okay. Number two is marriage is finding that special certain someone you just know you'd love to aggravate the rest of your life, because it's a little like, you know what I mean? It's like you like spar with that person when you have a really good marriage. And then the third theory of marriage, Saint-Exupéry wrote it, but I added something to it. You know, the guy who wrote The Little Prince. So this is what he wrote. You'll have a happy marriage when you realize marriage isn't two people gazing longingly into each other's eyes, but rather looking out over the mountain in the same direction with their hands on each other's genitals. That's the part I added.
I did guess that. Vision
and heat. Vision and
Mary
heat.
Mary Lou Henner is getting the band back together, which opens August 13th.
Yeah, August 13th, uh-huh, at the Belasco. We start previewing, though, July 19th, and there are great ticket sales and everything else. You know, tickets are not only on sale, but they have, like, great deals going on for previews especially.
And gettingthebandbacktogether.com, you can see that. There's great music videos and clips, and you should hear of the show. All the clips that I've seen have been very fun, and I hope I get to see it very soon. But Mary Lou Henner, thank you for joining us. We appreciate you being on the show.
This was super fun.
Thanks, Mary Lou.
Bye. Bye, you guys.
Thank you. Bye. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us. Thank you again to Mary Lou Henner, our friend. And
amazing person.
All around amazing person. Go see her show, Getting the Band Back Together. It opens August 13th, I believe, but you can get tickets now, and you should, because it has a great cast and a great you can see music videos and stuff on the website, and I'm sure Mary Lou Henner is great in it. We haven't seen it, but I'm sure she is. So,
I want to tell real quick. So the graphic novel is coming out in like a week, I think.
Oh my god,
fuck me.
Everybody likes it.
The AdventureZoneComic.com. If you haven't pre-ordered it, you can pre-order it now. I wouldn't wait too much longer. So get that. And we're doing a book tour. So first, let me say, the Cincinnati show is, I believe, July 18th. And that's the one I think where we could still use some more people to come check that out.
That's a fun way of putting it.
Yeah. I like thinking about it like we're waiting for volunteers. And it's like, well, we still need a few more people in that one. So if you want to come, the cost of the ticket also includes a book, a copy of the book. Specifically our book, not just some general book. And we're going to have some surprise guests at the show to help us with a reading. So it's going to be super fun.
It'll be like a Q&A reading style discussion. Not like our traditional sort of live shows for the Adventure Zone, but mostly focused on the book.
And you can get tickets for that at mcroyshows.com/tours. Also, so we are doing one of the book tour stops is at San Diego Comic-Con. And the venue that we got, you know, because it's Comic-Con and we didn't have a ton of options, unfortunately, the venue we got to be able to get as many people in as possible is standing room only, which is admittedly a bummer. But what we've done is we've set apart, it's in kind of three sections, three different levels. The bottom level, the ground level that's closest to the stage, is going to be designated as like a sitting area so people can sit on the ground if they so choose, if that would be more comfortable for them. So if you want to bring like something soft to sit on, do, but remember that, like, it's first come, first serve. So we can't guarantee that everyone's going to be able to sit there, but we wanted to have at least some room. We would also say, like, if you're totally cool standing, then don't worry about it. Take one of the other two sections and leave room for people that need to sit. And we know that it's not ideal, but we really wanted to be able to get as many people in at San Diego as possible. So this is where we're at. So if you got tickets,
it'll be nice.
It'll be
intimate. It'll be like a fucking Decemberist concert. You'll be like sitting there on the floor, just like how like kinky.
And also, there is ADA seating. So if you need that, that's also first come, first serve, but you can call ahead to the venue to make sure and like work with them and make sure that there's room for you. So that is also available.
We realize we are narrow casting pretty hard right now, but this is the first time we've kind of run into this situation. So we're trying to get the word out.
Yeah, we just want to make sure everybody has the best time that they can. And we're trying to look out for you. And thank you for coming to the show. I should also say that. We really appreciate it. It's going to be super fun. The San Diego show, all of them are going to be fun. I'm really, really excited about it. Oh, and also along those same lines, we're also doing a bunch of different like book signing events at local places like here around Cincinnati, around Huntington, around Austin. Cary is doing one up in New York. And you can find those two on macroshows.com/tours.
Yeah. Also, we are doing some live shows in Bim Bam. Tickets are still available in Orlando and Atlanta. That's all at macroyshows.com/tours. And Trav's doing a bunch of con appearances also at SDCC and Gen Con and Dragon Con, a bunch of places.
Post all the schedule for that all on macroyshows.com too.
And also, we got a merch store if you've never been to it or haven't been to it lately. We're updating it. We got a monthly pin that we're sort of rotating in and out. The one for July. What is the one for July?
It's the cool baby pin.
It's the cool baby pin.
Very cute.
It's very cool. So all of our stuff is at mcroymerch.com, so go check that out. Thanks to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. You can go to MaximumFun.org and check out all the great shows there. Shows like Stop Podcasting Yourself and Switchblade Sisters and Story Break, all at MaximumFun.org. And if you want to see more stuff we do, it's at mcroyshows.com.
The episode of Bubble that we are on just came out, episode 4, so you can check that out.
That was very, very fun. And yeah, thanks to John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed, which is a good song, good album, good band, good time. Great oldies, this album. You want that final?
Yeah, you know I do.
So it's sent in by Tessa. Thanks, Tessa. It's Yahoo Answers User ? I'm going to call Chip asks, I don't think I've ever seen a toucan.
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, and me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hi, this is J. Keith Van Stratton, host of Go Fact Yourself here on the Maximum Fun Network. On Go Fact Yourself, we take the smartest people we know and make them look dumb.
Paul, by the way, how much do you know about chicken husbandry?
You gotta give him that grain.
All right,
gotta give him that grain.
And then smart again.
What future Hall of Fame pitcher for the Cleveland Indians became the first active player to enlist?
Bob Feller.
Oh, okay.
We've got me, co-host Helen Hong, plus celebrity guests and actual surprise experts. In the coming weeks, you can hear guests like Maria Bamford, Tom Bergeron, Paul F. Tompkins, Janet Varney, and Grant Imahara. And if you're in the New York area, come check us out live. We're doing two shows there on July 21st and July 22nd. Go to GoFactorPod.com for tickets and more. We'll see you in New York, or on the first and third Friday of every month here on the Maximum Fun Network.